I've been instructed by the Holy Ghost that I don't know everything about anything, and rather I should say that I am knowing about it. The revelations of the Word of God that you and I understand are beautiful and good, but our understanding has not exhausted the knowledge of the subject, not even close. Our revelation is ever expanding, for the mind of Christ, which is the mind of God, is past fully finding out. Revelation simply stacks. Every day can be so exciting when I uncap the I know all about that lid that I've screwed onto the top of my head. I don't know everything about born again. No, I am knowing about it and fully understanding its marvels cannot be reached during this earthly experience. Speaking of these marvels, 1 Corinthians 2:9 reads, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." There is nothing in the entire universe that can compare to the marvelous, everlasting magnificence of born again, born a very real second time, this time of the Spirit of God. The beginning of truly knowing starts here. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again as Jesus directs in John 3:3? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You are not here by chance. The Holy Spirit of the God of all gods has drawn you into the valley of decision. Joel 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. In just moments, I will call upon you to make the decision of a lifetime. If you follow me in a simple prompt and follow from your heart, the greatest miracle of all time will begin for you. Today, all your sin and its shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. You will be entirely absolved of all your sins. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be snapped like straw. You will be entirely free. Your moment of decision has arrived. Here is the prompt I promised. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Leviticus 11:1-20. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean unto you. Of their flesh ye shall not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean unto you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, and all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. And these are they which shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination, the eagle, and the ostrich, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl, and the night hawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. God said, Proverbs chapter 3, 1 and 2, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. God said, Proverbs 3, verse 33, The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Man said, I'm part of today's enlightenment. We've cast off the cords of biblical restraint. We are free to believe. The Bible's directives were penned thousands of years ago, and they just can't compete with the wonders of today's science. Science, that's my God. I follow the science. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1318. They will once again certify the supernatural veracity of God's beautiful book, the Majority Text Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in many languages, see the language bar above, for your edification and to be used as bait for God's fishers of men. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God's face shine upon you in your house with light and truth. All of the features in this God Said, Man Said series, God Sets the Table, begin with the following paragraphs. It is the immutable, incontrovertible truth. It cannot be mocked or disregarded without pain and suffering. The Word of God found in your Majority Text Holy Bible is always true and righteous altogether. It has never been upended, not even by Satan's most learned and eloquent detractors. Their incessant attacks have not made a single scratch, not even a mild abrasion. It simply cannot be done. That is the nature of truth, God's truth. The cardinal law of Galatians 6:7 reigns supreme. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This God Said, Man Said series will focus on dietary issues addressed in the Word of God. God's endorsements have been roundly ridiculed and rejected by this world's carnal academics, nations, and even the world. Have followed their counsel, which in some cases takes on the form of legal edict. Invariably, however, several years or decades later, their carnal truth is found to be quite false. Unfortunately, the damage was done not only to their blind followers, but through generations to come. God Said, Man Said has published a host of features regarding God's dietary directives. In the following features, we will lift highlights from these previous God Said, Man Said features and expand them to address the latest findings. Much of what is heralded as breaking news today was published on God Said, Man Said decades ago, but now back in the news and confirming the Holy Bible, it's worthy, as always, of our attention. God's dietary directives are extensive and include lists of things to eat and not to eat. This feature will address clean and unclean creatures. Whenever this issue comes up, believers will point out that the Christian is no longer required to observe these directives, and this is mostly true. 1 Timothy 4, 4 and 5, For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. There are two Old Testament dietary laws that we are obliged to observe, which will be addressed in an upcoming feature, Acts 15, 19, and 20. Therefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Yes, it is true that a Christian can sanctify his food with prayer and thanksgiving, and we do. But the very vast, vast majority of the world has no such power. It surely would behoove them to observe the Bible's dietary laws. Consider is that man's biology has not changed. It is the same today as it was in the Old Testament when God gave instructions regarding diet. The Creator knows what is best for the bodies he made. Knowing this, I apply a simple rule at my supper table that you might find helpful for yours. If I am invited to someone's home for dinner and they serve pork chops, I receive it gratefully and sanctify it with prayer and thanksgiving. But when I purchase groceries for my own table, I follow God's endorsements. Please note, much information in this feature will focus on the pig because it is the most commonly consumed unclean creature and research is abundant. Though dishonorable mention must, I believe, also go to the bat. Leviticus 11:9 provides a list of unclean creatures we are forbidden to eat or even touch the carcass, and the bat is on that list. Whether originating in the wet market or the lab, COVID-19 is the result of disobeying God's prohibitions regarding unclean creatures, in particular, the bat. God is not mocked without repercussions. God Said, Man Said published the following in the feature Swine, the Other White Meat Update. The God of the universe, who created the human body by Christ Jesus, gave explicit instructions about the food we should put into our bodies. God's word is our owner's manual. These supernatural instructions were given in the very beginning of time, thousands of years ago, long before their phenomenal wisdom was discovered by modern science. Only the wise designer creator could ever have known the benefits of his dietary commandments. This is just one more proof that God is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God calls the swine unclean. In the Old Testament, an unclean person was one who had touched the dead, had a running issue or oozing sore, or was or came in contact with a menstruating woman, etc. The term uncleanness means one is in a contagious situation. Those contaminated were quarantined. The swine is called unclean, which means it is contagious and will bring harm to those who eat its flesh or touch its carcass. Dr. David Mock of Johns Hopkins University reported on the toxicity levels of the flesh of animals and seagoing creatures. In Dr. Mock's research, all unclean, listed in God's scriptures, creatures, measured toxic, with the pig ranking extremely toxic at about the same level as the rat and groundhog. In regard to the human body's metabolism, it is ill-equipped to handle unclean meats. Unclean meats digest in only 3 hours, while the clean meats that God commanded us to eat digest in up to 18 hours. In a 1988 report, E.A. Whitmer, Ph.D., professor and program director of environmental health, School of Public Health, Loma Linda University, had this to say in the following excerpt. Pork consumption is now associated with coronary heart disease, cancer, and certain communicable diseases. Pigs are noteworthy as hosts for the intestinal Trichina roundworm, Trichinella spiralis, which causes the disease trichinosis, a disease with symptoms that doctors often attribute to intestinal flu, pneumonia, or rheumatism. A more complete list of symptoms of the trichinosis infection were listed by the Division of Parasitic Diseases, National Center of Infectious Diseases. Nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, fatigue, fever, and abdominal discomfort are the first symptoms of trichinosis. Headaches, fevers, chills, cough, eye swelling, aching joints, muscle pains, itchy skin, and diarrhea or constipation follow the first symptoms. If the infection is heavy, patients may experience difficulty coordinating movements and have heart and breathing problems. In severe cases, death can occur. Additionally, Dr. Whitmer had this to say about pork tapeworms. Tapeworms are yet another problem that eating pork poses. The adult pork tapeworm can reach a length of 10 feet and can live for several decades in the small intestine. If infection is widespread, it can simulate a brain tumor, epilepsy, or other neurological or psychiatric disorder. People become infected with the adult tapeworm by eating undercooked pork infected with bladder worms. Pork is also implicated in breast cancer, prostate cancer, and cancer of the colon. H. Fred Trout, VMD, PhD, and Julie Funk, DVM, conducted research in order to estimate the prevalence of swine herds infected with pathogenic Yersinia enterocolitica, and the remainder of this feature we will refer to it as YE, they reported. YE is a foodborne pathogen estimated to cause annually 3,000 to 20,000 cases of human disease in the United States. The most prevalent clinical signs in human beings, children are the most frequently affected, are abdominal pain and fever, diarrhea and nausea, vomiting may also occur. The disease can range in severity from self-limiting gastroenteritis to potentially fatal septicemia. Trout and Funk examined 103 lots and 3,375 individual pigs for carriage of YE, excuse me. Of these, 92.2% were found to contain pigs carrying YE. Finally, they reported, the results support the hypothesis that pigs are a significant potential reservoir for human infections by YE. Another curse man has reaped because of his disregard for God's word is an infection of the intestinal tract and less commonly the bloodstream called campylobacteriosis, hereinafter referred to as C. If the number of cases of C reported by the New York City Department of Health in 1998 is consistent by percent of population across America, nearly a quarter of a million people are infected by it. C is generally spread by eating or drinking contaminated water or food, especially undercooked poultry or pork, or by contact with infected animals. Common symptoms of C are mild or severe diarrhea. Traces of blood may be found in the stool. Other symptoms include fever, abdominal pain, nausea, and vomiting. The pigs like to scavenge and eat just about anything, such as rotting carcasses, dead insects, worms, garbage, and dung, including its own and that of other pigs. It is an unclean animal, and input produces output. Input, rotting carcasses and dung. Output, pork chops made of rotting carcasses and dung. The biblical prohibitions in the Old Testament against unclean foods are considerable. Avoiding these foods is critical to the unsaved and makes good biological sense for everyone. J.S. Rubin, NMD, PhD, in his book, The Maker's Diet, weighs in with the following. He partly refers to a research conducted by author E. Josephson in his book, God's Key to Health and Happiness, Rubin writes. Pork products in particular top the list of favorite foods for many Americans. Some don't realize their favorite snacks or food items come from swine. The pig did not make the Creator's list of clean animals for a very good reason. Clean animals that chew the cud have an alimentary canal and a secondary cud receptacle. Essentially, they have three stomachs available to process and refine their clean, vegetation-based food into flesh in a process that takes more than 24 hours in general. Pigs or swine, on the other hand, never limit their diet to vegetation. They will eat anything they can find, including their own young and sick or dead pigs from the same pen. Josephson claimed the pig's single stomach arrangement was very simple in design and function, and that it was combined with a limited excretory organ system. 4 hours after the pig has eaten his polluted swill and the other putrid offensive matter, man may eat the same swill secondhand off the ribs of the pig. With impeccable logic, Josephson adds, did anything biologically happen to the swine since Bible times? Or did the digestive tract of man have some kind of miracle transformation? No. The Bible, science, and experience have all proven the contrary. Regarding scavengers of the sea, we see media warnings about toxic crabs, clams, and oysters off the East Coast each spring or summer. Why? Scientists literally gauge the contaminant levels of our oceans, bays, rivers, and lakes by measuring the mercury and biological toxin levels in the flesh of crabs, clams, oysters, and lobsters. Consider Dr. Rothschild's explanation of the toxic effects of what the Bible calls unclean foods. Do not consume any meat of scavenger animals comprising pork, all shellfish varieties, skinfish, which are scaleless fish, scavenger birds, snakes, and most reptiles. The reason for this biblical prohibition is dual. The first consists in that the meat of such animals is about 10 times more perishable and difficult to preserve than that of the allowed animals. Frequently, people do not realize a piece of meat is already poisonously spoiled until they perceive the toxic symptoms and have already ingested it. The second reason consists in the scary fact that the byproducts that originate from digesting such scavenger meat are highly poisonous. We are referring specifically to the so-called death enzymes, such as cadaverin and putrescine. These death enzymes are extraordinarily useful in nature. Without their assistance, no flesh would revert to dust. They are extremely useful to break down a corpse, but terribly inconvenient in a living human body. End of quote. Note the following, published by Dr. Reginald Cherry in his book, The Bible Cure. Notice that certain types of animals were unclean to eat, particularly swine and seafood, such as shrimp or oysters that did not have scales. Why? The Bible Cure revealed the potentially unhealthy attributes of these meat centuries before science uncovered that pork could carry the deadly trichinosis infection and that shrimp or shellfish retain heavy metals, mercury or lead, in their flesh. The God Said, Man Said, from the God Said, Man Said feature, Pigs and Brains. One of the headlines of the June 2012 issue of the scientific publication Discover magazine reads, The Epidemic of Brain Parasites. The feature story interviews Theodore Nash, who heads up a clinic at the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, and his specialty is neurocysticercosis. A few paragraphs from that feature follow. But Nash knows the blobs are not made up of the patient's own cells. They are tapeworms, aliens. A blob in the brain is not the image most people have when someone mentions tapeworms. These parasitic worms are best known in their adult stage when they live in people's intestines, and their ribbon-shaped bodies can grow as long as 21 feet. But that's just one stage in the animal's life cycle. Before they become adults, tapeworms spend time as larvae in large cysts. And those cysts can end up in people's brains, causing a disease known as neurocysticercosis. The closer scientists look at the epidemiology of the disease, the worse it becomes. Nash and other neurocysticercosis experts have been traveling through Latin America with CT scanners and blood tests to survey populations. In one study in Peru, researchers found 37% of the people showed signs of having been infected at some time. Earlier this spring, Nash and colleagues published a review of the scientific literature and concluded that somewhere between 11 million and 29 million people have neurocysticercosis in Latin America alone. Tapeworms are also known in other regions of the world, such as Africa and Asia. Neurocysticercosis is a very important disease worldwide, Nash says. A couple of paragraphs follow from the God Said, Man Said feature, The Pig on the Plate. The headline, Newsmax.com, October 23, 2015, it reads, Bacon processed meats as dangerous as smoking. Report, several paragraphs follow. Maybe you should rethink putting pork on your fork. Global health authorities are issuing a new warning that bacon and other processed meats contain cancer-causing substances with the highest of five possible rankings, making them as lethal as cigarettes. Headline, November 6, 2015, in the week, Bacon, the threat on your breakfast plate. Excerpts follow. Perhaps no two words together are more likely to set the internet aflame than bacon and cancer, said Sarah Zhang in Wired.com. So it's unsurprising that yelps of devastation and disbelief were heard across the planet this week when the World Health Organization classified the processed meat along with hot dogs as a group 1 carcinogen, the same high-risk cancer category as cigarettes, asbestos, and plutonium. The following information is lifted from the Christian Biblical Church of God's May 2026 newsletter, where they are citing their book, What the Bible Teaches About Clean and Unclean Meats. Of all the world's animals, the pig is one of the most unclean, yet it is hailed as the other white meat. Pigs are ravenous scavengers and will eat any kind of food, including garbage, maggots, rodents, rotting carcasses, excrement, even their own offspring. Farmers often use pigs as virtual garbage disposals, which includes things like dead chickens. But even farmers who claim their pigs are fed a grain-only diet cannot stop the animals from eating rodents, carriers of numerous parasites and diseases, and feces. Swine are excellent incubators of toxic parasites and viruses and often carry a variety of disease-causing organisms while appearing to be healthy. According to the Centers for Disease Control, numerous viruses and other infectious agents are brought into the United States each year in pigs, mostly from China. Of course, you're probably familiar with H1N1, better known as the swine flu, a virus that has made the leap from pig to human. In his book, The Genesis Diet, Dr. Gordon Tesler writes that the indiscriminate eating patterns of omnivores like pigs make them disease carriers. Pigs are known to carry up to 200 diseases and 18 different parasites and worms, including the deadly roundworm called Trichinella spiralis. Trichinosis, the disease caused by this particular worm, can mimic other diseases such as arthritis, rheumatism, or typhoid fever. Perhaps many other diseases are misdiagnosed when the real cause is many parasites found in the flesh of the unclean swine. A person may be committing slow suicide when he or she eats bacon, ham, sausage, or pork chops. Tesler adds that pork should be considered a homotoxin, stands for human poison, and the probable cause of many common sicknesses and degenerative diseases. Dr. Rex Russell has studied the dangers of pork for decades. A graduate of Baylor School of Medicine in Houston, Texas, Russell writes, many outbreaks of vicious infections have developed in so-called cooked food. If the food is biblically unclean, don't count on cooking it to protect you. A sobering report from Scotland revealed that food poisoning by toxins, virus, or bacteria occurred in spite of thorough inspection at every stage of food preparation, including handling and cooking. He continues, one reason for God's rule forbidding pork is that the digestive system of a pig is completely different from that of a cow. Pigs are gluttonous, never knowing when to stop eating. Their stomach acids become diluted because of the volume of food, allowing all kinds of vermin to pass through this would-be protective barrier. Parasites, bacteria, viruses, and toxins can pass into the pig's flesh because of overeating. These toxins and infection agents can be passed on to humans when they eat a pig's flesh. Why do pigs carry more disease and toxins than other farm animals? Aside from the dangerous garbage they typically eat, part of the answer has to do with their digestive systems. A pig digests whatever it eats rather quickly, in 4 hours or less. This fast transit time does not allow for the efficient removal of toxins from the system. The result is that toxins tend to be absorbed and stored in fat, muscle tissue, and organs, which are then eaten by people. Another issue is that pigs lack toxin-eliminating sweat glands. Thus, swine are typically toxin-saturated, and cooking does nothing to eliminate toxins. Aside from the dangers already discussed, the consumption of pork appears to have a mysterious, detrimental effect on human blood-clotting mechanisms. In her book, Nourishing Tradition, Sally Falloon writes, investigation into the effects of pork consumption on blood chemistry has revealed serious changes lasting for several hours after pork is consumed. The pork used in these tests was organic and free of trichinosis, so the changes that occurred in the blood were due to some other factor, possibly a protein unique to pork. In the laboratory, pork is one of the best mediums for feeding the growth of cancer cells. The study demonstrated that the consumption of non-marinated pork has a profound effect on human blood chemistry, Rubik writes. The results show unequivocally that consuming unmarinated cooked pork shows a significant negative effect on the blood. 5 hours after consumption, subjects showed extremely coagulated blood with extensive red blood cell, RBC, roulet cells in the formation of stacking coins. RBC aggregates and the presence of clotting factors, especially fibrin. She adds that not a single free-floating RBC was observed in the blood samples. Apparently, the consumption of marinated pork does not produce the same changes in blood clotting as caused by the consumption of non-marinated pork. Rubik and her colleagues are at a loss to explain why. She speculates that pork contains a toxin or perhaps, as suggested by Falloon, an unidentified rogue protein that heat alone from cooking cannot destroy, but is somehow rendered harmless through the fermentation of marinating. As a general rule, unclean aquatic creatures are either scavengers or predatory carnivores, such as most sharks. Most clean, edible marine life, those with both fins and scales, are found in deep or fast-running waters and primarily consume algae. However, many varieties, such as the common bass, eat smaller fish, frogs, insects, etc., but clean fish do not eat dead matter. They also have an efficient enzymatic system of detoxification. Most unclean aquatic creatures are bottom feeders, scavengers that scour marine beds for dead, decaying matter. The highly popular catfish, which has fins but no scales, is a bottom-feeding scavenger. This feature is precisely what makes unclean marine life unsafe to eat. Several poisoning symptoms are associated with the consumption of shellfish, mussels, clams, oysters, and scallops. Four are particularly common: amnesic shellfish poisoning, diarrheal shellfish poisoning, neurotoxic shellfish poisoning, and paralytic shellfish poisoning. Human toxicity and mortality sometimes occur after the ingestion of shellfish, but toxicity is also seen in wild animal populations. Shellfish are bivalve filter feeders and thus rapidly accumulate toxins produced by microscopic algae such as dinoflagellatus, diatoms, and cyanobacteria. The toxicity levels of marine bed algae are often seasonal. When the algae of a given area are in bloom, the toxicity is high. Shellfish that feed on such algae become highly toxic. However, it is important to understand that such toxins are a normal byproduct of their existence. In other words, shellfish are always toxic and have the potential to become dangerously toxic at any time. Attempting to predict the toxicity level of shellfish is highly problematic, a bit like playing Russian roulette. Paralytic shellfish poisoning is a persistent problem in Alaska and along the west coast of the United States. Consequently, the state of California once proposed that the following warning label be required on all shellfish packaging: this food may be dangerous to your health. The principal toxin responsible for PSP is saxitoxin, a deadly neurotoxin estimated to be 1,000 times more toxic than cyanide. There is no antidote for PSP, and all cases require immediate medical attention. According to research by the state of Alaska, bivalve shellfish feed on a literal smorgasbord of microscopic algae. Bivalves are ideal conveyors of the PSP toxin because they are relatively indiscriminate filter feeders and consume massive amounts of algae. Shellfish are not generally killed by saxitoxins and pass the accumulated saxitoxins onto any animal or human that eats them. Severe illness from the consumption of raw oysters from the Gulf of Mexico, or should I say the Gulf of America, is associated with the bacteria Vibrio vulnificus. Septicemia from this bacteria carries a fatality rate of greater than 50%. Some 140 cases were reported by the CDC from 1988 through 1995. V, vulnificus is present in up to 50% of oyster beds with the water conditions that prevail in the Gulf of America during warm months. Cases are most commonly reported during warm weather months, April through November, and often are associated with eating raw oysters. The common denominator seems to be the fact that unclean animals habitually eat flesh that would normally sicken or kill humans. By contrast, clean animals almost exclusively consume primary materials, various forms of plant life. Moreover, clean animals never eat dead animals or animal byproducts. End of quote. The God of creation created all things with which we have to do just over 6,000 years ago. The earth and its universe are not billions of years old. The evolutionist claim of 13.8 billion years of history has no foundation in truth. It's why they can never rise to the challenge to prove their theories, as are always found wanting. The first five books of the Bible were penned by Moses and authored by God about 3,500 years ago. In these chapters, the principles of diet, including clean and unclean creatures, are clearly defined. Notably, this understanding hails back to at least Noah. In this feature, you see today's latest discoveries confirming the Holy Scriptures. Only the Creator of all living things could know the biology of every creature, and He records His list of do's and don'ts in the owner's manual He gave to us. God's Word is always true and always righteous altogether. Truly, it is a place to build a life that will last forever. God said, Leviticus 11:1 through 20, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are of the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud, among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch, they are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas, and in the rivers, or of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, and the osprey, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite, after his kind. Every raven after his kind. And the owl, and the night hawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind. And the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you." God said, Proverbs 3:1-2, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." God said, Proverbs 3:33, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just." Man said, "I'm part of today's enlightenment. We've cast off the cords of biblical restraint. We are free to believe. The Bible's directives were penned thousands of years ago, and they just can't compete with the wonders of today's science." Science, that's my God. I follow the science. Now you have the record.